Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. I think I have my co-host Barbara here with me. Are you there, Barbara?
You thought right. Yes, I am.
Well, actually, I mean, wrong.
I'm happy
to
be
here. Choice of word. Wrong choice of words. What I meant to say is, I think instead of saying what I was thinking, I was going to say that I had my girl's Barbara here is with me. I was going to say.
I thought you were trying to be clever.
But what I wanted to ask you,
everybody, we talk right before the show, and if we don't. If I don't, like, call a few minutes before the show, Johnny, like, gets his little feathers ruffled. So I don't do that to you. I try really hard not to do that to you, Johnny.
Now, what I was going to ask you, is that you wanted to talk about what was going on recently at the Capitol. And I think that I've sort of come to the conclusion that there's viewpoints and then there's what's going on with the Capitol. They're not always the same thing. In other words, just because something was done at the Capitol doesn't mean that everybody who had their things done at the Capitol is a Trump, you know, believes just
you,
because
so
you think that what
you don't think they're gonna do it again on Wednesday, on the 20th, during inauguration. Is that what you're
really
trying to say?
Point. I mean, yeah, I don't really see the point. I mean, you know, I think what happened was that just because somebody is, I don't think that those people that were violent represent what Trump supporters think, you know?
Well, I mean, you never know. Some are not. Everybody was mixed all in there together. But okay, I wouldn't.
Yeah, that's true. There were some lovely people there on your birthday, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, there were people on vacation that walked by and started videoing it and then posted it, and then it turned into being such an uproar, they ran away from it, and then it was already on their Facebook, and so people thought they were a part of it. I saw, like, people like that, like, visiting from Hawaii. I really did see that on the news. So it's all types were down there. And so it's very serious because if that was another country coming in and doing something like that to our capital, can you imagine what more of an uproar there would be?
Well, not
these
only
are
that,
our
I
own
mean,
Americans. These are our own people doing that. There is some serious issues. And you know what? I do think that we should always be concerned because that's how these dangerous groups grow underneath. They get power from the other groups out there that don't mean harm, but they get them riled up and they start to just get one or two or three, one from this group, one from that. Pretty soon it grows.
This is what I think happens. I think there's a little bit of the way conspiracy theories get started, which is what happened this past election, is that they have these ideas about these things happening, but there's no motive behind it. You know, or they can't take account of what happened. Like the people who tell you, well, they tell you that there's fraud in the election, but they don't tell you who did the fraud, and they don't tell you how it was done.
Well,
and they're vague.
Well, have they ever been able to turn over an election decision by recounting? Have they ever?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know. I think if there was, I think though that I wonder though about this one is because I think that from what I understand about, you know, how it was done or if it was done, you know, the recount wouldn't have made any difference because, you know, it's sort of like we have the technology to make, I think that, you know, seriously, you know, we have the technology to do lots of weird stuff now. Like right now, the technology exists to where I can take your, I can do an audio recording of your voice, and I can make you say something, and I can make it sound like you're the one saying it. And that's not
always true. Oh, I know. You told me about that before. Oh, I forgot about that. So did you see that happening? Could you tell?
I don't think I could tell, but I mean, obviously the technology has improved to the point where just because you see it on a television, you see that person on a television, it doesn't matter anymore.
Okay.
I mean, you know,
I get it.
And
what if you lived down there and you were, what if you lived down there and every year, you know, every 4 years you were really excited about the inauguration ceremony? I mean, it's a big deal. They all are down there by the Washington Monument. It's very wonderful. It's kind of like Biden has been robbed of that with all of this going on. You know, it's just not all pomp and circumstance anymore, is it?
No, I do think that if there had never been a COVID, though, I think Trump would have definitely gotten reelected.
He did not handle that well at all. And then now, oh, my goodness. I thought, you know what? Go out proud. Go out, you know, just, yes, you can have a recount. Yes, you can check that out. You have the right to. But then just kind of then disappearing and kind of just being like a poor loser. You know, I do not like poor losers. I don't like that. I saw this side. I did not like it, and I did. I now, you know, I used to think he was kind of funny, and now I'm thinking he's, I don't think about him at all, actually. How about you?
What was the sign?
What do you mean sign?
You said you saw a sign.
A side of him. I said I saw a side of him.
Oh, I thought you said you saw a sign.
No. So that's what I saw, and I did not like the COVID. Of course, there's many other little things that annoyed, but then again, I was enjoying a wonderful economy. And so, but then when the COVID happened, and something just ticked me off right away about how it was handled. And I don't know, but there was a moment, and I was just like, I was boom, turned off. Turned off
completely.
What
did you not like about it?
How the president handled it by just scoffing it off, like, okay, well, all the health officials are telling us to be so careful and wear masks and everything, but the person who the children and everybody's looking up to, the leader of the country, is kind of scoffing at it and acting like it's not serious and won't wear a mask, and then everybody kind of became these non-mask wearers, supporters, and it was weird. His whole family didn't wear masks, and I just thought that was just kind of, like, made me sick to my stomach. It just was weird. I just thought, hey, you're leading. Did you not just hear the health officials? And, okay, that's
also
what it
is. Health officials, you know, their job isn't really to tell you good stuff. Their job is to tell you the truth. I mean, you know, like if somebody says, oh, you're 30 pounds overweight, lose the weight, you know.
And so are you saying then the president's job is to, like, smooth it over and candy coat it?
No, I mean, what I'm trying to say is that the president's job, you know, isn't to sit around and make the health officials say things. I mean, you know, that's where I think the problem is that Dr. Fauci's job is to say, is you know, say, well, you know, you know, we'll get a vaccine, or, you know, this is when we'll get a vaccine, and, you know, like the people who say that, you know, once you get it, you can't get it again. The reason they say that is because the human body, once it gets an illness or something, that's what it does. It develops an illness to it, you know, the antibodies to it. You know?
That's not true anymore, Johnny. That's not true anymore. That's not true anymore, they say. They say that you can get it again, and now people have gotten it again. So that is not true because it's a different strain, but then your body has already built up the immunity that it needs for when you get it again. So it's fine when you get it again.
Well,
like,
some immunity. You do have some immunity, but not complete immunity. You do have some immunity, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Well, have you heard any bad reactions like that have been happening? Have you heard about any bad reactions to the vaccine? I know your parents
got it. And, you know, my parents, they took the vaccine and nothing happened.
My mom and stepdad, Dawn, as well. And she just said her arm was a little sore, and she has, thank goodness that she's fine to take this vaccine because she has that IPF, idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, which is a lung disease that's fatal. So I just was so glad. But my dad, living in Arizona, they're in Washington State. You're in Florida, so your parents got it. My Washington parents got it, the vaccine, but my Arizona people have not. My dad and his wonderful girlfriend have not.
Oh, so your mom got vaccinated?
Yes, a few days ago, yes. Like, I think
that's
the same day as your mom. Yeah, the same as your mom.
So she got her first shot.
I think so, yes. However it works. That's what she says, yes. When do people, like, 10 years younger than get it? I mean, how are they working that? Do you know?
Well, you know, when we're looking into that, I mean, I think that it's going to happen around April. What I like the idea is that, you know, it's going to slowly, this is going to cut into the fatality rate, you know, because the people who are going to be vaccinated are the ones that you wouldn't want to see get it in the first place, you know.
It's unbelievable. Sometimes I walk around thinking I'm just lucky because there's a lot of people zooming around and it's not a ghost town like it was. I am back to being ultra careful again because have you been listening to the news in California? I live an hour south of L.A., so I'm not right in the busy, busy L.A. area, which is so crowded, very confined, very close quarters. People are living in really unique spaces. It's not bad, but I'm just saying it's close. And you come in contact with a lot of people there every single day, and it's bad. So I live down in Huntington Beach. I have wide open spaces. I don't have to come near anybody any amount of the day if I don't want to, really. And I can go do my errands. You know, just the person who I'm buying whatever from is who I'm dealing with. That's it. I don't walk around the streets with a bunch of people and go to gyms. When people are going to gyms down here, I see it through the windows.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be, I mean, every time that somebody gets vaccinated, like they say that half a million people get vaccinated every day, total.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that is a lot. That's great.
Well, if you count this.
And
this
it's unbelievable,
total
really. I didn't think that they would pull it off
country.
This quickly. Yeah, I understand. So, I just can't even believe they pulled it off this well. Are you surprised?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, you know, I'm surprised. I mean, I think that in my view, I can understand why people are nervous about it, you know. I think.
Well, you're just safe at home. But how do you think your parents would feel if you went to, let's say, how would they feel if you went to L.A. and walked around a bunch of people and did only dine out, restaurant eating, and went to your P.O. box and went to the bank teller, and not the teller, but the ATM where there's probably tons of germs, went to the grocery store, dealt with them, passed many people, touched food they probably already touched, I mean, how do you think your parents would feel if you were out there doing that and bringing that home to them every single day?
I know, not good.
So I
not
guess
good,
I do
but,
have to come in contact with people. I'm
but I have to
I don't,
say, though, that I do have to say, though, that if you're going to be a healthcare worker and you're going to be vaccinated, that's going to be a true test because you are around people all the time. So,
yeah.
Just, you know, you just say it. I mean, those.
So
I
we'll
mean,
probably be hearing those stories soon about how the healthcare workers, doctors and nurses are feeling after that. Like in a couple of months, we'll see. And hopefully it goes well. I've heard some stories that it gives people some convulsions and other problems. I forgot what other problems, but. Not good, but I mean, okay, if that's the option, either risk getting COVID
but
or
I
risk
think
dying
that, you know,
or
it goes along
or
with what we're saying.
Exactly.
I think it's been used as, I think it's been too political, but I think that this is what I think is going to happen. I think this is the year that everyone gets better, and then I think that 2022 is the year that we can sort of move on. You know, there's not going to be a whole lot of...
Yes. Oh, tell me about the other countries. Do you know about the other countries that made it through better than us? Our statistics are the worst in the world, right?
I think Germany's supposed to be horrible. Germany's supposed to be pretty horrible.
Okay, but they're very careful. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why. I've not heard that. Elfie would know. But...
Yeah, this is what I heard
about
from.
The other countries that are... Okay, I'm not asking the horrible things. I'm curious, what are the other countries that are doing well, that are thinking of it as, like, in the past, like, you want 2021 to be? Are there countries like
that?
Well,
I do know that I heard some of the UK is vaccinating their people pretty quickly, is what I've heard. But I don't know if you know... how quickly they are. I mean, that's what I've heard. I've heard the UK is
dying.
Using vaccines.
Are they dying still in every country? Every country there is somebody dying or not? Maybe not Iceland, right? Or
let me check the statistics on that. Let me see the statistics on that here.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I want to know if there are any countries that have really gone through it and how did they?
Well, sometimes you have to understand there are statistics that are, there are countries that they think may be lying about it, you know. Like, they say, like, for example, we look at this here. Okay. 95 million cases. Okay, look, see, like, okay.
Well, some countries would lie. They want to act like they're... just the greatest, but there must be some real way to find out some source.
Let's see, China.
Okay.
Peru.
Well, listeners.
Peru.
Okay.
Peru.
What we're talking about. Peru. I told
Peru's
you that's way that where they have that ayahuasca. It's mind power, and they do it. Most people who live over there, it's a part of their culture, and they do it, even children. And they take this medicine, they go through this, and it takes their brain somewhere else, like on mushrooms, but somehow 20 times better than even that. So it's called ayahuasca, and it's in Peru. All of those Peruvians are probably... fighting it off with their healthy brain waves. Really, it changes the way you see and perceive life. You should watch the documentary.
China's doing really good. If you go by new cases, China only had 109 cases.
I do not trust. Okay, that's the news I do not trust. Any other country... I don't trust any.
Well, the only reason
I don't know.
China is the
Chinese. Like
team.
What you just said. I know, but like
let's
you
see.
Said, countries are lying about the numbers. I mean, they didn't, want to tell us about it in the first place. So why do they want to tell us about the numbers?
Well, Cuba is 292 new ones. And
and that's sad. That's a lot of people.
But
actually,
I think
these numbers of deaths are unbelievable. I feel the pain.
Greenland is
doing
great. No new numbers.
Ohio?
Yeah. What?
Cleveland, Ohio?
Are you talking about in the United States?
I thought you said Cleveland, and I'm like, Ohio?
No. And actually,
Finland?
Do you want to take a caller?
Oh, no, I can't hear you then. Yes, I do want to take a caller.
Okay. Now, wait a minute.
Okay.
Give me a moment. Let me screen it, okay? Give me one moment, please.
Well, that would be a great idea. No marriage proposals on air, people. Yeah, that's going to cause anxiety for Johnny because he feels that I will be going through anxiety dealing with it, which to a certain extent, yes. I mean, it'd be nice not to have to worry about stuff like that. That was weird. And then we had to block that person because they really were everywhere. Everywhere on social media. Knew everything, every comment about everything, wish list here, everything. Okay. Copied and pasted and columns, and so we took care of that.
This is Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Joe, I can screen the caller.
How are you tonight?
Didn't know I was in the...
Thanks for calling.
Hello. Yeah, sure.
Hi.
Okay, I didn't know I was in the... I didn't know I was in the green room. All right. So, like I was telling him, I saw your page. It says what's going on, exclamation point. I wanted to find out your guys' opinion about what you think is going on in America. And
oh,
I have for me
on.
To put it in my...
Johnny, t-shirt. Use my title. Sorry, Joe. I had to interrupt. Johnny, you did end up using my fun title. Joe, you like that title? It was catchy. It got you to listen. America! Exclamation mark. What's going on?
Yeah, right.
I thought that up.
That's the title of the page. So that's what got me here.
Right.
So I didn't listen to the show. I just got here. I got picked up rather quickly, which is good.
Awesome.
So I wanted to find out what your guys' opinions were, and then for me to add in my two cents.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I was trying to hear that. If you're talking about going on,
Johnny first.
Well,
okay.
I would
like Johnny to go on first. Quickly, though, because we were talking about it already, and we'd rather hear your opinion and add to yours, because we've already been talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't think Trump supporters are violent, but I do think that the people who were obviously there at the Capitol were violent. But I do think that a lot of people are very frustrated and they feel like they're not being listened to. That's what I think is going on.
Even vacationers were mixed in there, Joe and Johnny. Vacationers were walking by the Capitol. It all started, they're videotaping it because that's what people do now when things happen. And then when they saw did it live on their Facebook or something, they're just like these nice grandma type people. And then they did it live. So then when it just got exploded into a horrible thing, everybody thought they were a part of this mob. So it's like everybody was mixed in there. What I think is that it's very scary because, hey, if this was another country, this would be total terrorism. This is our own people doing. There's deep-seated issues, and we do need to be concerned about these groups coming together underneath with the power that they're receiving by all these other little ones joining here and there. What do you think?
Well, I think the press went bananas over what happened at the Capitol. What happened at the Capitol shouldn't have happened, but it was a setup. There's a guy named John Sullivan who advertised on their particular websites or particular newspapers for Antifa to stage this particular type of so-called riot. And the reason why I call it a so-called riot is because when you take a look at the video, the Capitol Police opened up the doors. If they open up the doors for the people to come in, which, by the way, they were there an hour before the Trump crowd was there.
I did notice.
So the Trump crowd didn't have anything to do with it.
I did notice.
So when
that
they opened
the
up the doors.
Mm-hmm. Lackadaisical, even.
Yeah. So just like the police that stood down over the summer when Antifa and Black Lives Matter showed up in Portland and Seattle and New York, etc. They are complicit in this bullshit. That's what they're doing. When you are the cops and you're taking orders from the governor or the mayor to stand down and you're not protecting the people, you're complicit in whatever happens. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, they are the destructive mechanisms. But if you own a store and you call the police because it's being robbed, the police show up, but they're eating donuts as they watch the people walk in and out of your store with the merchandise that you have inside your store. Don't you think the police are complicit in that robbery?
Well, maybe, but I mean, with the numbers, they just don't have enough people. I mean, the people are overcoming. Sometimes they just think, what could we do? I mean, look at all of them. There's tons of them. I want to know what you think. If they are complicit, what about Trump? You're obviously thinking he is too. That's what I'm feeling from you. Is this true?
Why would you assume that I believe that Trump would be complicit? I'm saying that the riot started an hour before the crowd got there. Trump said, march over there peacefully, patriotically. He did not incite a riot. If he wanted,
if he wanted
a riot, then the crowd.
That's how I saw it. I saw it like that. I was just thinking that maybe you were thinking that anybody who wasn't trying to stop it at all or anything was complicit. But
Trump supporters did try to stop it.
I thought that he didn't
go
storm the building. He just said walk over peacefully, right?
No, he didn't say storm the Bastille. As a matter of fact, like I just said, a few Trump supporters try to stop it. There's video, there's one video of one particular person who was trying to smash through a window, maybe even trying to set a part of the Capitol on fire, and he gets, people are saying, stop it, and then one person comes along and tackles him. So they weren't, so a few Trump supporters did engage in the riot, and that's because they were sheep. They were there just to listen to Trump. But when they got caught up in the action of the people who first led themselves into the Capitol, they followed because they wanted to be part of something, I guess, the drama. But those were idiots. The people who planned it. And again, you're saying the police are not. They allow the doors to be open. They know they're there. And you're saying, well, they were outnumbered. They were notified of this about a week ago. They were
actually,
asked if they wanted
to
have
something about
national
security. Not to cut you off, but something about being outnumbered.
Huh?
I mean, you know, you would think with 9/11, we would be ready for something like this. And considering all the things that have to happen.
Of course you should.
To airports.
Of course you should be ready. Like I was about to say, they were asked if they wanted to have the National Guard there. They said no. If the mayor or the governor, whoever said no, then they're, how can you blame Trump? And if they have the order for the Capitol Police to open up the doors. Huh?
Okay, but he gets blamed for everything. Joe, he has always gotten blamed for everything, so why not, of course, for this as well. But I was just hoping that, you know, he could go out with not so much bad happening. That was very disappointing. That was sad. You know, I really felt bad. So what do you think is going to happen with Trump and his future and what his legacy is going to be? You're obviously a Trump supporter. Tell us how you feel in your heart. What's going to happen or what you want to happen for him.
Well, what do you think is going to happen on January 20th? Or let's say January 21st. Do you think Biden is going to be the 46th president of the United States?
That's why I wanted to have a show. I really want to know about that. I want to know what's going to happen. What do you think is going to happen? I don't know. I'm on pins and needles. I already know what happened. I want to know.
All right,
okay.
I'll tell you what my opinion is.
What's going to happen? Okay.
Trump 2 years ago, did you hear about his executive order in 2018, which is now 3 years ago? In which I'll call you in. Okay, do you know about it?
No.
Okay,
I'll tell you, don't worry about it.
He signed
an executive order in 2018. The executive order mandates that the intelligence agencies have to let him know within a certain deadline date if they detect any kind of foreign interference with future elections. Now, that's the innocuous part. It's about, I think that I got something like 20 pages long. It's all about having the, like I said, they're going to report back to Trump, let them know within a certain deadline, if there's been any kind of interference, supposedly because of the Russian collusion crap. But that's not the important part. The important part of the executive order was that one particular phrase. And it was, he declared it a state of national emergency as a result of that executive order, which means we've been under national emergency since then, and he can call out the National Guard, he can declare martial law, and even before doing martial law, which the courts are kind of iffy about, he can declare a national emergency based upon that executive order. So he, between now and the 20th, he still has a lot of time to do what he can do. The courts have upheld presidents declaring national emergencies, which is why probably Washington, D.C. has 25,000 National Guard people there. They have twice as many National Guard there, from what I hear anyway, than they have troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. This may be Trump's moment to let people know in a very, very forceful way that the election was a fraud, which it was. You have videotapes. You've got hundreds of affidavits of people witnessing election fraud. You have statistically showing that the when you're up by 650,000 votes, all of a sudden the voting stops, and then 3 hours later you're down by 100,000. Statistically, that's impossible, because that would mean 90% of the votes that came in would have had to have been for Biden. 90%. Nine times as many as Trump. Couldn't have happened. So 25,000 National Guard, Guards people are there. They're there to arrest the perpetrators of this fraud. So Biden is out, and Trump is going to remain in. That's my opinion.
Well, let me ask you this.
Well, this is going to be interesting.
Now, let me ask you this. I mean, is it possible that the person who committed the fraud wasn't Biden, but somebody else?
Say that again. I didn't quite hear you.
Is it possible that the person who perpetuated the fraud wasn't Biden, but was in fact somebody else?
Who perpetuated the fraud? Not Biden. Nah. Yeah, it's possible Biden's a ringleader, but I doubt it. Corporations, international corporations, have been wanting to make America into a communist state for years, decades, as a matter of fact. They set their plans in motion decades ago. If you take a look at the transcripts of the House on Un-American Activities and take a look at the inroads that the communists made back in the 50s, 60s, you can see how that's happening. So, is Biden a ringleader? Possibly, but I doubt it. So, it's being funded by it's, you know, the word is a lot of it's being funded by Soros. I don't have proof of that, but let's say it's Soros, if not that. Millions of dollars have gone into PACs to elect people who were members of Black Lives Matter, who are now attorneys general, actually, and who are elected to Congress. So there's a lot of corruption, a lot of fraud going on, being funded by people who are rich.
Now I'm going to ask you this question. There are people, you know, with the whole verifying the electoral thing was told, and apparently Trump was telling Pence, throw out the Electoral College. Let me tell you some of the research that I found into this. I did into this that a lot of people don't know about, because I think when you come up with the idea of the vice president being in charge of determining whether or not he gets elected, people consider that to be ridiculous. But let me tell you what I found out. First of all, when the country was founded, the president and the vice president were not elected together. They were not. They were separate. In fact, the way it used to be is that the president was elected and the one who got the second in place became vice president. But this was a problem because there was two people with separate parties. So it actually, and what I can't figure out, this is the thing I just can't figure out about the whole vice prince not having the authority. Why is he there? I mean, you might as well have a computer doing it. If he, you know, what's the point of him being there? You see my point?
You're saying, why is he? Yeah, is he functioning as a ceremonial type of person only, or is he?
No, I mean, why, you get a computer to do it. I mean, why is the vice president there?
I'm restating your question. Your question is,
yeah,
is Pence there just to perform a ceremonial function, or is he there to actually perform a substantive type of function? He's there to count the votes, to be in charge of counting the votes, and to certify that the votes are counted properly. From what I understand, and I'm going to say I don't quite know if this is true or not, he supposedly has the power, and this is where the controversy comes in, to take a look at the votes and to say that the votes, which were certified by the states, were not certified properly. That's supposedly one of his functions. Now, Trump supposedly told Pence he had the duty, since he knew that the votes were gathered via a fraudulent mechanism through election fraud, to throw out those particular votes from the swing states that were accumulated in a fraudulent manner.
Hi.
Trump said he couldn't do that. Now, whether or not he had the power, I'm going to have to do some further research into that.
But you do understand.
But
that
at least he didn't
vote. It doesn't make much sense to just say to someone, now, we want you there. The Constitution says you have to be there, okay? And of course, you don't have any power, but the Constitution wants you to be there. Well, why do I have to be there? We just want you there, you know? And it's kind of like, what? Now, for example, I've heard somewhere that there's nothing in the Constitution that says that the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court has to swear in the president. You know, I've heard that that's not exactly in the Constitution, but that's usually the case. But what I, just like, here's another one. Whenever they have conventions, it's always the one that's in power that goes second. But the thing is that what I don't understand, I can't figure it out. I mean, you know, you can't, it seems like kind of strange to say that Pence is there. Why not have the First Lady? Why not have a monkey? Why not have, you know?
Well, because he has a lot of duties. I mean, he was in charge of the coronavirus group of people.
He was assigned that by Trump.
Okay.
But
I mean,
for him
a
to
lot
be
does.
The counter. Yeah, I won't. To be the counter of votes, that's supposed to be constitutionally mandated. Now, whether or not he's doing it as a ceremonial figure again, or whether or not he's doing it as a matter of a substantive policymaker, I don't know. But the Constitution
you
says
do see
he
my
has to
point,
be there,
though,
the Constitution.
Right? You see my point, though?
Yeah, I do.
I
understand.
Get around the
point is, why is he there? Well, somebody has to mandate that the votes are being done correctly. So if it's not him, it has to be somebody. Could have been the Speaker of the House. Could have been somebody
Eddie
else.
Any the gas station attendants? You know me.
No, he's like a robot. He's gonna. He wants to do his part just right, perfectly. He's like Ken, the Barbie doll type. So you know what? It's normal for him.
You know, you just. Yeah, I like the way you described him. Yeah, he's like a Ken doll, a Barbie doll type.
Yeah.
Because he's very, very, he's very, very smooth. He's very slick, very presidential,
yep.
And that's why I don't like him. Because he's acting like the typical politician.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think Trump will run again in 2024?
Yeah. He's going to be president on January 21st.
He told you that, Johnny boy. Why do you ask him again? He explained the whole thing. This is going to be very interesting, and I'm so glad you called in with this. That's what I said on the show description. Please call in. Tell us your thoughts, feelings, what's going to happen. And here we have Joe. I feel that this was a blessing. We had you come on and call us and give us this insight, because I had no idea that that was the executive order still was open and that could be happening. But those soldiers, I completely
gives Trump, right. That gives him the power to declare the national emergency. Now, if he declares martial law, that's going to be very, very disputable, because with martial law, supposedly the country has to be at war. But with a national emergency, it's a declaration by the president, and then he can take his presidential powers and do whatever that the courts will allow. The courts have already allowed past presidents to enforce national emergencies. So he has that in his favor. And don't forget, take a look at D.C. 25,000 National Guards there. It's got to be a reason.
Oh, my gosh. So many. And
but let me ask
you
this.
Hold on, Johnny. Wait. Are they talking? Or is this high secret? Because, I mean, isn't Nancy Pelosi saying, oh, my gosh, this is what Trump probably is about to do? I mean, what are they all thinking?
That is a very good question. That's a very good question. Very good question. Because I've asked that myself. This has been told about by somebody who supposedly is in the know. And I've asked myself, if you're going to be talking about this like a month ago, that should alert Pelosi and Biden and the rest of the morons and the crooks to protect themselves. Maybe that's why they have the 25,000. Maybe they don't quite believe that Trump has this particular type of power. Maybe that if he does have, if he's as crazy as they think he is, he's a very vindictive guy, then maybe that's why they're trying to rush through the impeachment, to get him out of there before the
20th. That's what I thought they're trying so hard to, but this is only 2 more days. I mean, that takes a long time to do that process, doesn't it?
And not only that, I mean, this goes back to what I was saying, you know, about the ceremonial thing. Like, for example, it makes you wonder about a few things. Like the Pence ceremonial thing is almost like saying, if you're going to get married, okay, then, you know, you get your wife, you know, your spouse, you get together, you go and you find a minister or justice of the peace to marry you. Now, notice I didn't say this is a specific person, okay? I didn't say this is the person that sits on the corner at the particular address that you must go to, and it cannot be anybody else. This is the person that must be there. If it was ceremonial, you know, then it would be anybody. You know, you would go to the justice piece, you know, but once you start naming a specific person, that it has to be a specific person, that it has to be the vice president, I mean, it seems kind of strange to assume that he is the only one in the United States that's qualified to do this, and then have it be ceremonial.
No, well, I don't quite uphold that particular point. The Constitution, from what I understand, mentions that somebody, I guess it mentions the vice president, do it. It could mention anybody. It could have mentioned the Speaker of the House. It could have mentioned the president himself, or could have introduced and created a new office in order to do it. But they named him, maybe because out of a whim. But the thing is that I understand that your point is saying, out of all, just to be a computer, there has to be some function that has to be involved with him being there. Is that what, that's what you're saying, right?
Right.
Right. You're saying he's there to do, to be important. So that's what his job is. His job is to take a look
at
the votes.
Why does it bother? Why does it bother you, Johnny, so much that the vice president is going to take the place of the president? Because the president doesn't want
to
go.
Point of the lying and the cheating and the sneaking around and people not being told the truth. Because, you know, it does make you wonder. That's what bothers me, is that to say to someone, you know, oh, well, it's ceremonial, you know, it could actually be done by anybody, but it has to be you, you know, there's something wrong. There's something about that.
He likes it. He likes the attention. Johnny, he has one chance to be the vice president. He had his chance. He did everything. Kendall perfectly okay. Now, he wants to do the last thing. This is his moment, okay? Let him have it.
Okay.
Whatever. Who cares? Like, I don't know why this is eating at you so much. But,
well, it looks
okay, it is.
That's why it eats at me.
Okay. But I thought that you liked, okay, you think that he's turning on Trump or what? Because I thought you liked them.
No, I don't think he's turning on Trump. But I do think it is kind of a fishy thing to do, to say, you know, that you have this person who's there for purely ceremonial purposes to,
I don't know.
To,
I didn't hear it. Joe, did you hear this news? I mean, I didn't even watch the news. I've been working nonstop writing for 2 days straight, not watching news. Okay. And I didn't hear about this. Joe, can you explain what's going on? Why is Johnny upset? I don't get it. I'm not getting it.
Well, because people at point, I would assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm assuming that you're saying that Pence should have done, first off, you're asking, why is the vice president doing it? Why not somebody else? And if the position is important, then why didn't Trump fulfill that particular role of declaring that the votes should have been fraudulent?
Yes.
Am I on the right track?
Look, I like to think that if there was fraud brought up at that electoral vote thing. So you mean to tell me if there was fraud that was brought up in that electoral vote thing, don't you think that would be Pence's job to kind of do something about it? To make sure that was out there, that was shown out there? Or just to be ceremonial and read everything? No.
It was supposed to be at that particular ceremony. That's why he's getting a lot of flack, because a lot of conservatives, I'm not a conservative, I'm a libertarian. A lot of conservatives are saying, and liberal as well, is that you should have, you, Pence, because that's within your power. There's a debate as to whether or not he did have that power. So that's the controversy over that. So
hold on. I am so sorry. I thought you were talking about something completely different, because you did go in and out a little bit. Okay, I thought you were talking about why is the vice president going to the inauguration and the president is not going. And you're talking about a completely different ceremony.
Yes.
Than I was thinking about. That's funny. Okay, that's why I wasn't getting it. Okay. Wow. Well, we covered that topic, and this is a very interesting show, thanks to your... Can you just tell the listeners really quickly again, Joe, just really in a nutshell, what you say is going to happen because of the executive order, which seems like nobody's really talking about. I mean, but like I said, I haven't watched the news for 2 days. Is there anybody talking about what you're talking about?
No, well, you're not going to see it on the mainstream news, okay? Which is kind of surprising to me, because it should be on the mainstream news. Why the people aren't particularly warned about it. They may or may not have an idea what's going on. But I'm going to sum up what Trump has. Trump has at least one more arrow in his quiver that he can employ before he leaves office. If he employs that particular and shoots that arrow, he will stay in office. Here's what it is. In 2018, he signed an executive order, which gives him the power to declare a national emergency if foreign powers have been shown to interfere with our national election. Now, remember, in 2016, the Democrats had accused him of being a Russian asset, a Russian agent, a Russian spy, Russian collusion, and blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. So he used that as an excuse in order to look forward to the future, have this executive order. Now, since he's declared it a national emergency and the machines which counted up and tabulated the votes, the Dominion machines were owned by a foreign company. They were used by Chavez in Venezuela in order to fraudulently make him the president of Venezuela. And as a result of that, he has the power to now declare the national emergency, which gives him the power to call in the National Guard, to call in the military, and to investigate what he declares to be election fraud by force, which is why, in my opinion, the 25,000 National Guards people are there at the D.C., because there is going to be the gunfight at the OK Corral. That's where, supposedly, these people, Bidens, the Pelosis, the Pences, the people who have shown their true colors, the Democrats, those who want to take down America and want to make America a communist country, they're going to be arrested.
Oh.
Once they're arrested, Trump is going to remain the president, either by martial law now, okay, or who knows, maybe he'll set up a new election, and he'll say, okay, people, we've gotten rid of those who perpetrated the fraud, let's start again. Everybody get out there and vote for whoever you want to think should be the president. Who knows, he might do that. But that's, in my
you
opinion,
so
what's going
right.
to happen on...
Hold on, Joe, hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're so right when you say he has one last arrow, however you put that, it was clever, in his cap that he will, being Trump, he will use whatever he has left in his arsenal, because that's just Trump, right?
Yeah. They're messing around with the wrong guy. This is the most vindictive president in the history of the United States. This guy takes no shit. So you mess with him, he messes with you. You try to get him out of office, you try to besmirch him, you try to scandalize him, you try to libel him, he's going to come back at you. So now that he has his one last arrow.
Nothing was getting him down throughout this whole presidency. I'm like, wow, one thing after another, and it was like water on the duck of the feather rolling off of him. It's like he could handle anything. He did not care about, some people just wouldn't be able to handle, like, the booing or anything like that.
Oh, he cared.
Like,
he cared
like,
a
he
lot.
Cares,
he didn't like, he didn't
like,
like.
He doesn't quit. He cares, but it makes
no,
him
he doesn't
stronger
quit.
And he, persevere even harder when things like, you know what I mean? He's
That's
just
right.
like steadfast. And they're trying to say, oh, well, he
That's
only
right.
works 6 hours a day in the Oval Office. Well, whatever it takes to get it done, I mean, do whatever you needed to do. But they're just nitpicking again and again. And I couldn't even watch the news lately, you guys, because it's just like constant nitpicking at every little thing. And I can't take it anymore.
They've been doing that ever since, even before he got elected as the president. They were doing it when he came down the escalator. They hated Trump.
Yes,
he said as part of his campaign promises. He was going to drain
Why
the
did
swamp.
He stop?
the swamp being
but why
corruption.
Did he stop?
Huh?
Why did he stop? Why did he stop
he
talking?
Stop.
I never see him on TV talking much anymore. I never see him like I used to as much. And it's kind of weird.
The mainstream media doesn't cover him. He's been on TV. He's been on TV last week. He was talking about the fraud. He's been on TV. But the national
where
mainstream
do we go, Joe,
doesn't
to
cover
TV?
Him much.
Okay,
Newsmax.
Where do you go to find the coverage? What?
Newsmax. They cover him a lot.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah, Newsmax.
No?
Newsmax.
Okay.
Newsmax.
Okay.
Right.
I just want some to be able to have a resource.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you've heard of Sean Hannity, right?
I've heard of him.
Yes, I watched him all the time. I used to watch him all the time.
Okay, so you can listen to his. He talks about it all the time. Every day. He's got a show on every day, a radio show.
Okay.
Just Google.
I'll go back
just to Google. Okay, yeah. And that'll keep
like
you up
him.
To date with
I like
going the, on.
Thank you. I like the Ingram show, too, but... Joe, my problem was I have a teenager, and you know what? They get so opinionated, I just had to turn it all off because, like, every other second she would come in and just, like attack me for just what I was, like, watching the wrong network, and, you know, it's just like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Is she, is she going to high school or is she in college?
No, she's the middle school age, like 13.
Middle
so,
school.
They're really into
all right.
it, and they're,
so they're
home,
getting
and,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're grabbing them early. So she's
really
watching
are.
Mainstream on social media. She's looking at her cell phone, and she's looking at Facebook, and she's talking to her friends. And she probably thinks that Trump is an idiot because of what he says. He's not exactly the most articulate person that's ever held the presidency. But I don't care about
that.
What I care
about
are his policies.
Oh, she doesn't care about that much. She just thinks that, like, he held the children in cages at the border and all those kinds of things.
Well,
yeah,
she gets that from mainstream media. Right.
I know, and that's what they, that
media.
Age. That's why I'm saying I couldn't watch my Fox anymore because I couldn't take it in the household anymore. So I just, like, put my earphones in. I would just, like, you know, put Zen on because... You know, the politics would just be so disruptive. In every household, I would go to any friends or any neighbors. Everybody was just had such a strong opinion, and there was, like, no gray area, it seemed like. And it really had disrupted our family.
I'll tell you, if you were...
My whole family.
Well, it was disrupting a few families. When you listen to Hannity, you can then... garner from him the points that you would need to sit down with your daughter and say to her, listen, sweetie, I understand what your opinion is, but here's a different opinion. Let's examine it together. And then you can use critical thinking. And then you can show her that the people who are telling you this stuff. Yeah.
Okay,
like, for example,
you very much
you know, in 19, I was talking to my brother-in-law, who's this big, big Democrat, about the year 2016, about the election that was being stolen. And I said, let me ask, I'm going to ask a question for you. Tell me if this is, and you tell me if these are good points. Okay, in the year 2016, did everybody who vote for Hillary Clinton get their votes counted as being for Hillary Clinton? Yes. Okay, in the year 2016, when everybody who voted for Donald Trump, did their votes counted as being for Donald Trump? Yes. So how is there a stolen election?
How
I
is
mean,
there a stolen election?
Talk,
so you're asking?
Yeah, we were talking. He said that the election was stolen in 2016. Now, I just want you to remember my two points. Everybody that voted for Hillary Clinton had their voice counted for being Hillary Clinton. Everybody that voted for Donald Trump had their votes counted for being Donald Trump. Who stole the election?
Nobody.
Well, they say at the Electoral College, they say that Hillary won the popular vote, but because the Electoral College had elected Trump that it was a stolen election. They're not saying it was election fraud per se on the same order that, Trump
is not really saying fraud. That's just saying, that's not saying fraud because in order to commit fraud, you would have had to. You understand what I'm saying, right?
Right, that's what I said. It's not exactly, they're not declaring that it's fraud on the same order that, Trump is saying that his election was stolen. What the Democrats are saying is that Hillary should have won because she was up all the way until about the last hour or two. And then all of a sudden, Trump is winning these particular states, the Electoral College, and they don't like the Electoral College. The Hillary supporters, they just want an election by referendum, by popular vote. So they're saying Hillary won by popular vote, yeah, but the Electoral College had nominated him. Actually, according to the Constitution, citizens don't have to do. Yeah.
Barbara, you know why some people say that, democracies are dangerous?
No, I want to know more about why do they want it to be this way? Why does Nancy Pelosi and why do they want it to be this way?
But I'm going
to
explain something about why.
For them. I like this. I like freedom.
Barbara,
I want to
explain to you something about elections, about why democracies are viewed as dangerous, though, okay? Let me give you a good example. You have blonde hair, right?
Yes, but quickly, Johnny, because I have to end the show, and I have to.
But I'm just
going to
say,
the
majority of people do not have blonde hair. So if everybody, if everybody else who didn't have blonde hair made a decision based on what was going on with the people with blonde hair, you would always lose. Does that make sense?
Yes, I get it.
Okay.
You're very good at your analogies, and thank you, Johnny, very much. And I'm glad that you had a lot of things to talk to Joe about with. And I always love getting enlightened. I'm not a politician or an expert, but I thought, you know, we have to. We're a variety show. We have to address this. This is like huge. I mean, historical. Oh my gosh, the last 4 years have been historical, or the last couple. But Joe, are you optimistic then? Are you, my one question is then, when all hell breaks loose, then what? What do you think is going to happen, like that day or the day after that?
Well, like I said, Trump is going to remain the president. If he pulls off the arrest as is planned, as is supposedly planned, okay, then the people who perpetrated the fraud, the ones either the ringleaders, or maybe the ringleaders won't get caught because they're probably offshore, but the ones who helped to perpetrate the fraud, the Bidens, the Clintons, the Pences, the reporters who turned on Trump at the last moment, they're the ones who are decrying that Trump should get out of office. They're the ones who are recommending that Biden be termed the president. They're the ones who should be to arrest them.
You're cutting out. You're cutting out a little bit. Johnny, can you hear him clearly?
Am I?
A little bit, yeah.
Yes, a little bit.
This is better? Okay.
Okay, so I was going to say, if I am on pins and needles, then do you think they really are on pins and needles? Because they're just,
everybody
have 48 hours, 2 days left. And
that's right.
Like the seconds are ticking, and I've never experienced this. This is like historical. The anticipation is crazy, isn't it?
This is two minutes before midnight. This is the zero hour. Everybody's on pins and needles. This is not going to be a bloodless operation. It would be nice if it were, but 25,000 troops. Hopefully,
So
there
do
are
you
enough
suggest?
troops there in order to make sure. Huh?
I was just going to ask you personally, if you were in the area, would you go near there, or what is your suggestion?
Hell no.
Stay far away.
Hell no.
Stay far away, right? Nah. Like far away, right?
Yeah.
Tell our people.
Tell
our listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You sound like you're from New York.
Going to...
Can you give us a little background on yourself? Our show is coming to a close, and I want to know. You are like a cowboy. Oh, I love Montana. That's so beautiful. I'm from Washington State, Seattle, and Johnny lives in Destin, Florida. I live in Huntington Beach, California now after 30 years in L.A., but we're all from different places, and I just find that interesting. So that's cool. Can we get a hold of you? Can you follow our YouTube channel where this show will be on for you and your friends and you to share on social media anywhere you want? You can share this link.
Yeah, what I can do
anywhere.
Is,
next
time you. Yeah. I can come back to your show. The next time I presume you'll have a show is a week from now. The drama will be over in a week.
No,
we
do
can
like
talk
four,
about
four a
our
week.
Future.
We do three or four a week.
You do? Oh, you do?
Three or four shows. Yeah.
All right,
37.
Then maybe I'll come back soon. Oh, okay.
No, we are talkers. We want to come back. We want to have you come back after. Johnny, will you please get his email and info? And Joe, do you want anybody to
get
your social?
Sorry. I don't.
What was that?
I don't give people
like
my email or my phone number.
Well, what's
how do we get a hold
of you to be? How do we get a hold of you to come on the show again?
You don't.
Oh, you're just
you're on. If you're on every day. If you're on every day,
yeah,
I'll be back.
Yeah, but we're not.
But can
on
I write down your phone number?
Talking about politics, that's for sure.
Can I write down
your
phone
number? I do not give out
my
phone number. I do not.
Hey, Johnny.
No, I do not give out my email. Okay?
Johnny.
I don't contact
Johnny.
People on
Johnny,
the internet.
No gray area. Johnny, no gray area here. He said no. No. Okay? I asked because it means everybody has to, like, no is no. To me, that's what it means, and I am not offended. I just wanted to know a little background and why you are so into this, and, like, are you
politics
a veteran?
Politics is extremely important. Politics is extremely important. It affects everything we do, from the air we breathe to the people we date to the neighborhoods we live in to the jobs we seek, because the people in Congress – they make laws that affect our behavior, our mindset. So politics is extremely important.
Yes, I agree. So you are just a person like my brother, too. I was so shocked to know just how much he knew about how the government worked when he was helping my German girlfriend get her citizenship. And the test is hard. I mean, those people, once they pass that test, they know more than most Americans know about our history. I mean, he knew everything. He was the only one who could help her. And I was really impressed. So, but you know what? One thing that Trump did do really well is open people's eyes up. Like, me, I could care less about politics. That was, like, boring. You're telling me it's important. I always knew in the back of my mind, yes, it's important, but, you know, let other people deal with that. No, I think this was when people got really involved, started learning about how it all works. I did research on YouTube. It's easy. So, you know, what is the Electoral College? Well, look it up on YouTube. And, you know, I learned a lot with my daughter. So, anyway, I just find it interesting and find it, like, I'm evolving and I'm getting more educated. It's never too late. It's never too late.
Also, for people who have children who are talking by the mainstream media and public education, it's a great opportunity for parents and their children to bond, to show their kids, see, mommy and daddy aren't as stupid as I thought. Because, you know, when kids become, 11, 12, and 13. They all think the parents are stupid. So
yes.
This is an opportunity for the parents to show the kids how to think. There's more to life than just school. You can't always believe what your teachers tell you, and here's why. So you show them critical thinking, you show them logic, and then you let the kids, because kids are smart, let the kids figure it out with the guidance from the parents, and it'll be a great bonding moment. Because the kids will find out that mommy and daddy know something. Holy Jesus, they actually know something. Maybe I won't be ashamed to be seen with them in the mall anymore.
I've had those good moments, but it takes effort. And we've had shows on this about parenting, too, to where I would have loved callers to call in with tips, and you did give me a couple great tips, and I appreciate it because, you know, I'm a single mom. Her father has been passed away for many years, and, you know, it's me. No backup, no, hey, your mom told you to do this. You know, I haven't had that for 13 years. So you have to watch them like a hawk and what they are listening to and traps that they're being lured into, and because they're very impressionable. And we have shows on that subject a lot, Joe. So thank you for your feedback. And it's very important because, like I say, the children, those are the people in our future. That's our future. What we teach them, that's all they're going to know because, that school, she's learned nothing. Now that she's at home doing all of the online, she's at home, I'm like, they haven't taught you this, they haven't taught you that. They teach them nothing about money or how to manage that at all. I mean, like, the basics, how, if they're not teaching the basics, can the harder things connect and make sense? Like, they have to, I just don't think they're doing it correctly.
They're
so I'm bonding with her so much with that.
Right. If you don't learn the basics, you're not going to learn the more advanced steps, more advanced processes when you progress through elementary school, high school, and college, etc. So that means that their mental development is going to be stunted. And actually, that's part of the process of bringing down America. That's one of the communist planks of the Communist Manifesto, is to infiltrate the schools to make sure that Stalin once said, give me your kids early, and I've got them for life. So.
Well, that's why the coronavirus took care of that for me, Joe and Johnny, because, I mean, I'm sorry to say, because I do not wish the coronavirus on anybody, but I'm saying in my life, it brought my kids in. So she didn't get all that. I noticed everything she was getting at school and bringing home, and it was like, a lot of evil inside. It was a lot of anger. It was a lot of, and she was learning this from the school. It's not just the kids. I mean, it was mostly teachers. Their views,
it's not just,
their views became their views,
right.
Not my views anymore. I had no control. So now I have the control again as the parent.
Yeah, so take advantage of it. You got your kid home with you. Instead of her thinking of you as an authoritarian type of symbol, you can sit down with her and diplomatically show her that she can use her brain, that some things that she has will be right, some other opinions will be wrong, just like yours will be. Some of your opinions will be right, some of your opinions will be wrong. You sit down and you employ logic. And then you can let her, when she gets confused, you can say, baby, you know, I understand your confusion. See what logic says. And do it in a way that doesn't make her feel like
calmly. Like very
anyway,
calmly.
I'm going to let you guys go. Because your show's probably ended anyway.
No, right? We're still on. So, no. Thank you, Joe, so much. We'll talk to you next week after the 20th, and we look forward to it. Thank you so much for calling in. You can find this show.
Thank you.
Life, Laughter, Happiness, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Johnny.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Take care, people. Be safe.
Good night, Barbara.
Good night. Good night, Johnny.